Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Ksubas daf Mem Aleph. We left off on the top of Mem Aleph, Amud Aleph. We are at the Mishnah. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Lezecha Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha Aleha Shalom. It is also sponsored by Aaron Redder, Le'ile Nishmas, the yard site of Yehuda Aryeh Be Mordechai HaKohen, Leo Leibish Rappaport, a survivor of Dachau and Auschwitz, where his wife and children were killed, and despite these horrors, he remarried and built a new family and established most of his Torah in Eretz Yisrael and in New York, his Neshama Shav Naliyah. We thank both sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So what we're going to talk about today is the Mishnah on the top of Amud Aleph is going to discuss the concept of Moda B'Knas Pater. Since this whole parak has been talking about the Knas one pays for Onis and Mefata, so what if a person comes into Beis Din and he's the one that tells us that he's Ma'anis and Mefata? So there is this concept that Moda B'Knas Pater, that if a person is Moda, that he himself did something, then he does not have to pay the Knas. So the Gemara is going to talk about, first of all, why is it that when the Mishnah talks about him being Moda B'Knas, it only talks about him being Moda about being mefata a girl and not about being Moda that he was ma'anes a girl? And second of all, do we believe when a person is Moda b'knas, he's going to pay boshes of pagam, because that's not really a knas, that's a mamun payment, that's a nezek payment. But wait a second, we're going to believe him to pay boshes of pagam? No one knows that this girl was a mefuta, and this guy walks into Bezin and says, oh yeah, I slept with that girl and she was a mefuta, meaning she had agreed to it. Or I was ma'anis that girl, and no one knows about this. So by collecting the payment, we're going to be embarrassing her. We're going to be embarrassing her whole family. Maybe they don't want this to be known. So is that an issue? Are we allowed to collect payment based on the possibility that it's going to cause busha to the entire family? Then the Gemara, the bulk of the daf, is going to be about the concept of palganiska mamona or palganiska knasa, that there's going to be a machlokas, that when we pay chatzi nezek, when a short time pays chatzi nezek, is that a din in mamon or is that a din in knas? Nafkamina would be if someone is moda to chatzi nezek, and the Gemara is going to bring several rayas. I forgot to count them, something like four or five different rayas. If everyone could just mute themselves, I'm getting a lot of feedback from somebody. If we're going to bring four or five different rayas, whether palganiska is mamona or palganiska is kenasa. And then the Gemara at the very end of the parak is going to discuss very briefly the idea that if you have something that is harmful, that is damaging, that you have to remove it from your house. You're not allowed to leave damaging items in your house. Lo sasim damim bivei secha napa. As Shem will bring us to the end of the third parak of Meseches Ksubos, we probably will not get to the beginning of the fourth parak. Maybe we'll see. So let's begin with the Mishnah on the top of Mem Aleph Amud Aleph. So says the Mishnah, Homer Pititius Bito Shel Ploni. A guy comes and he says, I was Mefata so-and-so's daughter, but there are no Edim for it. He just came in and was Moda. Mishalim Boshes Ubagam El Piatzmo. He does pay the Boshes Ubagam because that is a din of Mamon. That does not have a din of Knas. The Gedder of Knas, Rashi writes in Baba Kama Daf Hei, is that anyone who's paying more than he damaged, or any Dover cuts of Betorah, anytime the Torah gives a number, whether it's more or less than he damaged, but the Torah gives a specific number for every time, that is called Knas. Boshes Pagam is not included in that, because Pagam is absolutely Nezek. We view her as if she's a Shivchan, the Makaris Pashuk. How much was she worth? How much is she worth? So it's clearly a Nezek payment, and Boshes is also based on Hamivayesh Vahamispayesh. So that's also something that is very clearly Mamona. So even though the Mishnah only mentions Boshes of Begam, the same is true with Tsar. Tsar is also Mamon, and your Meshalim al Piatzmo. It's just that Tsar is not Shaykh by Pititius Bito Shalploni. It's only if it would be a Nastius Bito Shalploni, because there is no Tsar by a Mefuta. There's only Tsar by an Ones. So a guy says Pititius Bito Shalploni, he pays the Boshes of Begam al Piatzmo, because that is Mamon. That is not a Knas. But the Ein Meshalim Knas. He does not have to pay the 50 shekel al piatzmo because Moda B'Knas is Pater. The Gemara in Baba Kama Daf Samach Dalid learns this from the Chiyuvei Tashlumin of Kefel that the Ganav has to pay. The Pasuk says, Asher Yashiyun Elohim Yishalim Shnayim L'Rei Ehu, that if the Beis Din is Mechayiv him, then he has to pay kefel. So it sounds like only if it's Yarshiyu Neluhim, only if it's the Beis Din that's Mechayiv him, he has to pay the kefel, he has to pay the knas. But if he's Marshia Es Atzmo, if he himself decides to volunteer the information and says, oh, by the way, I did this, then he's not going to have to pay the kefel because that is a knas, and a Moda B'Knas is Potter. So that's the basis for this concept of Moda B'Knas Potter, and that's what our Mishnah is telling us, that if you're Moda to owing the Chamishim Shkalim, you don't have to pay the Chamishim Shkalim. So the Mishnah brings other examples of Knas, where someone who's going to be Moda is going to be Potter. So even outside of the world of Ones Umefata. Ha'omer Ganafti, someone says, I stole something. No one, we don't have Aiden that saw that he stole something. It's just based on his own Hoda'ah. Mishalim is Hakarin al Piatzma. Certainly, he has to reimburse the person that he stole something from. He stole something worth $100. He definitely has to pay $100 if he doesn't have the item itself. If he has the item itself, Ve'eshev Ezekzeil, he has to return the item itself. So that's certainly. But Ve'en Mishalim Tashlume Kefel. But he does not have to pay double. He doesn't have to pay the Kefel al Piatzmo V'Tashlume Arba V'Chamisha. And he also doesn't have to pay Dalit V'Hei, where the Torah is Mechayev a person if he steals a Shor or a Seh and he shechts it or sells it, because Kefel and Tashlume Dalit V'Hei are a Knas, and Modu B'Knas is Potter. Some Svarim have gears over here. Homer Ganafti Tavachti Umacharti. That if the guy is Moda that he was Tavach Umocher, he doesn't have to pay Dalit V'Hei. So the Rashash on the Mishnayos writes that our gears is correct, where it doesn't say that he's Moda to Tavachti Umacharti, and the Tan is telling us the din that we learn in Masechet Baba Kama, that even if he was Moda that he was Ganav, and we only know that he was Ganav because he was Moda, and then Eidim come and say, we saw him being Tavach Omachar. So you think in that case he'd be Chayiv Dalit V'Hei, says Mar Baba Kama, no, because there's no Chiv in the Torah of Gimel of Dalit, it's only Dalit V'Hei. So once he's already Potter from the Kefel, because he was Moda on the Kefel, he was Moda on the stealing, so he's Potter from the Kefel, so then we can't impose the Dalit V'Hei, even if there are Eidim to the Dalit V'Hei. So that's why our Mishnah doesn't say that the guy was Moda to the Gan of a Machar. Then the Mishnah tells us, Hamis Shori is Ploni, another case of Moda B'Knas. A guy says that my ox killed so-and-so, where the Torah is mechayiv him to pay kofar. The Torah says, v'im shor nagachu mitmol shel shom, v'hu ad b'bayla v'lo yishmenu v'hemis ish o isha, ha-shor yisokel v'gam ba'alav yumas, im kofar yusha salav v'nasam pidyanavsho, k'chal asher yusha salav. Torah says that if you have a shor that goes and kills somebody, so the shor gets stoned, gam ba'alav yumas, and then it says, im kofar yusha salav. So there's a machlokas tanaim, m'sechts b'bakama, whether the payment of the kofar is considered mamon, kufra mamona, or kufra kapara. So the Tana of our Mishnah holds that kufra is mamona, and that's why he pays based on his own hoda'ah, that it has a din of a regular mamon payment. Because if it had a din of a knas, that modabo is going to be potter, since sometimes you pay more than you actually damage, if it would have a din of a knas. But anyway, so we're assuming that the kufra is mamona. So he says, Omer Shari, Hamish Shari is Ploni, O Shoro Shal Ploni, or my ox killed someone else's ox, where the Torah tells you have to pay the Demei Ashar, but there were no Eidim that his ox killed anybody or anything. Harezem Mishalim Al Pi Atzmo. He does have to pay, because that is regular Nezek, that is not Knas. Hey, Mishori Avdo Shaploni, but if he says my ox killed someone's Eved, where the Torah says that you pay 30 slatim, the pasuk says in Shemos Perek Chavalev, im Eved Yigach Hashor O Ama Kesef Shloshim Shkalim Yitein LaAdonav. The Torah is very specific that I don't care how much the Eved is worth, whether the Eved is worth one shekel or a million shkalim. You pay 30 shkalim always when your shor kills an Eved. So then Eid Mishalim al Piatzmo. Then he doesn't pay al Piatzmo because it's it's a knas of a particular amount, and it doesn't change based on the value of the Eved. So that's the definition of knas. So Zeh klal kol mishalim yes al mashehizik. So now the Mishnah formulates the klal that informs us what is a knas from which a moda is potter and what is not a knas. Anyone who pays more than he damaged, like the chiyuv of kefel by a guy, ganav, where he pays more than the actual kerem, or the knas of an ones, or the shloshim shel eved, where sometimes at least it's more than the actual damage, eino mishalim al piatzmo. If you are moda, you're not going to pay. Whereas if you're paying the exact amount that you are mazik, then it's considered to be mamun that that you would be chayiv to pay if a person is moda. Okay, so now the Mishnah had started. We got into this whole concept of moda b'knas because the whole parak has been talking about knas. We've been talking about chamishim shkalim that you pay when one is ma'anis or when one is mifate. So you would expect the Mishnah to start off by saying ha'omer nisisi anasti opititi espito shalploni, but it didn't say anasti. V'lisni anasti. Why does the Tana only give the case of pititi? Why not also the case of ones? L'chara they have the same din that you'd pay the bosh to begam al piatzmo and that you don't pay the knas al piatzmo. That's at least how the Ritva understands the Gemara's kasha. That why is it that it only mentions mefata and not the case of ones? Tosos in Dibra Maskel V'lisni Anasti says that the Gemara's kasha is that it should have only said anasti, and then I know from a kal v'chomer to pititi that if when you say anasti you're put from the knas when you're moda, even though you're moda that you did something that was quite terrible, a dvar pritzos of the highest order, where one is ma'ani sokrola, was not even a willing participant in the act of bia, so kol shekain pititi is going to be considered a moda b'knas that would be pater, because you would think that if anything, a guy who was ma'ani sokrola would have looking for every opportunity to punish such an awful person. So if you're going to tell me that even that guy is pater from knas, then for sure someone who's mefata girl is going to be pater from knas. Okay, but whichever way the Gemara is asking, the Gemara is saying at least the Mishnah should have said anasti, whether it should have only said anasti or also said anasti. Okay, but it at least should have said anasti. So it says Gemara, lo mi baya kamar. The Tana is not coming to tell me that anasti is not included in the halacha of our Mishnah. Adrabba, it's telling me that not only if you say anasti, but even if you said pititi. Why? Meaning pititi is the bigger chiddush. Lo mi baya anasti dlo kapagamla. Where if a guy is claiming anasti, so he's not really saying that she did anything wrong. He's saying he did something wrong. But if he says pititi, then he's saying she did something wrong too, because she was a willing participant. So the mishalim boshel begam al piatzmo, that by anasti, it's obvious that he's going to have to pay the boshes of pagam, because she's certainly going to be willing to accept the payment of the boshes of pagam, since by accepting that payment, she's admitting to no wrongdoing. Aval pititi de kapagamla, but if he's saying pititi, just by accepting that payment of boshes of pagam, by enforcing that payment of boshes of pagam, we're letting the world know that this girl did something wrong also. Ema lo mishalim al piatzmo. I would think that if we believe him to take the payment of boshes of pagam, it's going to be motzi laz on the girl that she was mezana with this guy. And why should we allow him, based on his own admission, to be motzi laz on this girl? So kamashulan, that's why the Tana tells us that even if he says pititi, you pay the boshes of pagam al piatzmo, and you're not choshesh that it's going to be motzi laz. We don't have to be choshesh for the hotzah aslaz. So the question is, what exactly is the kamash malan? So the Bartanur explains that the kamash malan is that she wants you to believe him, even though it's going to be hotzah aslaz, because she'd rather have the money, meaning it's worth getting paid the boshes of gam payment, even though in a chinami, by saying pititi and accepting that payment, it's going to be motzi laz on her. So Tosyantov says, raises the question on that Bartanura, that our Mishnah says the din bistam. So it sounds like even if the father's mekabel the boshes of begam, and over there she's not. So she's not benefiting, and still we're not choshish for the laws that it's going to be motzi on her. Meaning he's saying pititi, so it's saying she did something wrong, and she's not benefiting from the boshes of begam payment. It goes to the father in many cases. So that's why Tosyot says the kamash malan is that we can't pay attention to the hachsakas laws. We can't pay attention to the laws whenever he's motzi. He's mefata. We mechayev him to pay. Meaning it's just not a factor in the proceedings of Beis Din. Beis Din can't deal with everybody's feelings all the time. They have to just deal with the Dine Mamana sometimes, and that's what they're dealing with. with. So from a dini mamonis perspective, he's going to be chayiv. He's going to be chayiv to pay. So that's how Tosfos Yom Tov understands. That's the machlokas. Is it that of course we're nervous about the Tosfos Las, but it's worth it. That's the way the Bar Tanura says it's worth it. She's willing to get paid for that Tosfos Las. Or Tosfos Yom Tov says that the Beis Din can't take that as a factor in the proceedings because it's not a measurable thing, the Hotzah's laws. So says Gemara Masnisin to Loki Aitana. Our Mishnah assumes not like the following Tana. The Tanya Rabbi Shimon Yudom Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Shimon. Shimon Yudah says in the name of Rabbi Shimon that if a guy says Pititi Espito Shalploni, not only do you not pay the Knas, Af Boshes Pekam Eino Mishalim Al Piatzmo because Lo Kalei Menu Shiv Kompito Shalploni. That we are concerned about the Hotzah's laws so much so that he's not going to have to pay the Boshes Pekam. Because if we're mechayev him to pay the boshes of begam, that's an acknowledgement that we believe that this girl did something terrible, that this girl slept with this guy, and she doesn't want that getting out. So the Gemara says, okay, but what if she tells us that it's okay, let it get out, let that reputation get out, just give me the money, right? Meaning, what if she says that it's worth it to her? So I'm there, Papa Labai, Michala Ledita, Mai. What if the girl says, be motzi the laws, just pay me the boshes b'kam. I'm happy to take the money. So what would the din be then? Do we then say that he's going to have to pay because it's not a knas, it's mamon? So well, she's not the only one that's going to be embarrassed. Dilma lo nichale lavia. Maybe her father's going to be mortified about this hotza'as laws, and therefore it doesn't help that she's going to be mochel because it could be that sometimes a person says I'm not worried about my own reputation. So first of all, a person does have to be worried about their own reputation. Paskin tavisim nekiyim Hashem Yisrael. A person has to try to maintain their own reputation. Right? That's what they say. The famous Maisa with the Chafetz Chaim that. He was on a train and someone said, I'm going to meet the Helig of Chavetz Chaim. And the Chavetz Chaim said, nah, he's not so Helig, he's not so great, or whatever. And the guy started berating him. How could you say such a thing about the Chavetz Chaim? It was before everyone saw the pictures. Maybe it was after everyone saw the pictures, because the picture doesn't look anything like the Chavetz Chaim looks. So maybe the guy thought that it's like that guy with the curly pay is the Chavetz Chaim, the guy in the cover of all the books. And the person sitting in front of him looked like a wagon driver. So he, the Chafetz Chaim said, the guy apologized once he realized who it was, and the Chafetz Chaim said, I learned a new halacha that you're not allowed to say Lashon Hara about yourself. So it's unclear whether that story ever happened. I think Rav Shechter tells us Rav Soloveitchik said that he doesn't believe that story ever happened because it's never pasuk, you're not allowed to tell Lashon Hara about yourself. Meaning it's a pasuk, v'yisim nikiyim, Hashem Yisrael, that a person has to maintain a good reputation. If you're going around telling Lashon Hara about yourself, you're not going to maintain a good reputation. You know, we're not bailim over our own reputation, but even if you were bailim over your own reputation, you're not bailing over the reputation of your whole family. So a person says, I don't care what people say about me. Yeah, but what are people going to say about the people who raised you because of the reputation that you developed? So says Gemara, her father may not want the word to get around that she was that she had beer with this guy. So says Gemara, okay, nichle lavia, mine. What if we ask the father? And the father says, no problem. Just give us the money. We're desperate for the money. We'll take the boshes of pagan payment. Well, maybe the rest of the family is going to be embarrassed. Maybe the younger sister is going to be in shiduchim, and they're going to say, "Oh, this is the girl whose sister was that." So maybe they don't want that. So nichlul bnei mishpacha. What if they ask the whole family? They have a whole family meeting, and they say, "Okay, we got to take a vote. Do we want everyone to know that this daughter was sleeping with this guy, and we'll get money for it, or do we not want people to know?" And they all say, "We want the money. We don't care." So you're not going to track down every relative. There's a relative somewhere that may not be happy. They're going to be like, oh, I know that last name. Your cousin is whatever. And then they're going to make that association. And people don't want such associations made with their family. There's a discussion in Tshuvas Yaivitz, in Rabbi Yaakov Emden's Tshuvas. He quotes a tshuva from his father, from the Chacham Tzvi, about a case where you had a guy wanted to do a terrible Avera, an Avera Chamura, and his sister, his married sister, bribed him with a lot of money not to do the Avera. And now the guy died. He didn't do the Avera, he listened, and he died. And now she's Tovea the Yorshim. She wants them to go in 50-50 on the money that she paid to prevent the father from doing the Avera. She said, it's not only my responsibility to stop a family member from doing the aver. It's every family member's responsibility. And not only that, it affects you directly because it would have ruined your reputation. Everyone would have known that your father is the one that committed this crime, that did this terrible thing. It would have destroyed your shidduchim. And I prevented that from happening. And now now you could be held up high in shidduchim or whatever. So the Chacham Tzvi writes that it's near a borer that even if the children were already gedolim, were already over bar and bas mitzvah, we wouldn't be mechayiv them to pay the sister or the aunt or whatever what she spent, because it's no different than being poreh chov shel chavero shalomi daito, that even a bal chov that is dochek and bal chov nachri, we're not motzin mama miyad halova to give to the guy who's poreh shalomi daito. So since the Russia could not be didn't have the ability to be mazik his brothers begufa mamonam, it's just he was only going to cause them a shame ra, and if they say we're not makbid, so we can't force them to pay, meaning he could have said it's a shame ra that you would have caused, and they could say I don't care, I think I would have gotten a fine shidduch anyway, or maybe I'm not interested in the fine shidduch, whatever, it doesn't bother me, the shame ra, I don't care what people say about me. So since they can come with such a taina, that's why they don't have to pay. And he brings a lot of rayas to it, and one of his rayas is our Gemara, because the Gemara says, well, what about the reputation of everybody? And the Gemara says, well, as long as everybody says it's okay, that we don't care about the reputation, then it would be fine. The only reason that doesn't work in the end is because we don't think we can get everybody's approval. But Liyutzir, that we could get everybody's approval, that everybody would say, yeah, it doesn't bother me, the reputation doesn't bother me, then Einachinami, that's not considered to be a damage to them. So just a hotzal shame ra about someone, the ruining of someone's reputation, is not considered enough to be considered something that they would have to pay for. Okay, ha'omer ganafti mishali miskeri. Now we get to the primary topic of the daf. The Mishnah had said, if a person says ganafti, he pays the keren. If he says, hey, mishori esploni, Shor Shaploni, he pays alpi atzmo. Now, when it comes to a short tam that had never that had not yet gored three times, and then it does its mazik bekeren, it does a hezek that's mashuna, the hallmark of keren. I mean, when we do discuss arba avos nazikin, so the definition of keren is that which is mashuna, that which is a little bit of an unusual thing for the animal to do. So the halacha is that v'chitzu es kaspo v'gamas amesi echtzun, that he pays chatzi nezek, the Torah says. So we learn that the balei ashar paid the chatzi nezek. So Gemara is machlok samurayim about chatzi nezek by a short time that damages. How do we look at that chatzi nezek? Is it a knas or is it mamon? Nafkamina would be, if you're moda, that you're short tam, gourd, do you pay the chatzi nezek? If it's a knas, then the answer is no. And if it's a mamon, then the answer is yes. So itmar palganiska, chatzi nezek of a short tam. Papa amar palganiska mamona, that it's palganiska's mamona, it's not a knas, and therefore if you're moda, you have to pay. Rufun b'rishu amar palganiska knasa. The palganiska is knasa, it's not mamon, and if you're moda, you're pater from paying chatzi nezek. So the Gemara explains the svara for each one. The reason he understands that it's palganiska mamona is because every shor is, by its very nature, is likely to damage, and therefore it's not becheska shimur kaimi. You can't assume that it's sort of self-guarded, and therefore the bal hashor has responsibilities of very significant shmira to make sure that the shor doesn't gore anybody. And if the shor does gore anybody, that's considered negligence of the owner. And therefore, bedinu d'mishan kulei, really, he should have had to pay the whole thing because it is his responsibility. Why does he only pay chatzi? Rachmanu d'chayisi lavei d'akati lo yaitura. The fact that the Torah patters him from chatzi nezek is a special leniency that the Torah gave him because the shor doesn't have a history yet, and you know people think that their animals are always so nice, and that you're walking down the street and a dog is like barking and viciously jumping after you, and the owner says, no, he's so sweet. He doesn't look so sweet to me. He doesn't seem like he's so sweet. But the owner always thinks, he's so sweet. He's such a soft, wonderful animal. So this person has this ox. He thinks, he's a cuddly ox. He's an ox. He gores. That's what oxes do. But the Torah says, we understand. understand that because he doesn't have a history of it, the owner doesn't think that way, and therefore we're gonna knock off half the payment. But still, really, he should have had to pay the whole thing. So it's really a mammon payment because it's something that makes sense that he would have had to pay. Rav Huna bar Shua Amar Palganiska Kanasa. He says no, Chatzi Nezek is a din of Knas. Kasavar Stam Shvarim Becheskas Shimur Kaimi. We assume that a regular shor is not interested. He just wants to mind his own business. He's not interested in going and attacking things or anything like that. And therefore, Meikar Adin, you had no responsibility to put any sort of significant shmira on this animal because he really just minds his own business. So you shouldn't have had to pay anything. And it's the Torah that it's making an extra knas that beyond what you should have paid, which would have been zero, you have to pay Chatzi Nezek, you have to pay Pal Ganizka, and that's a knas. So the Gemara brings many Mishnayos to bring a raya one way or the other, whether Pal Ganizka is Mamona or Pal Ganizka is Knasa. In fact, we have a simin for the Mishnayos that we're going to bring as raya. So simin is Hizik Ma Vehemis Klal. So now let's go through each of the rayas. First raya. Tanan, Hanizik Va'amazik B'tashlumin. A short time damages, the Mazik and the Nizik are partners in the payment. So Bishlam Manyam Pal Ganizka Mamona, I understand if Maker I didn't really, you should have had to pay Nezik Shalem, Hainu the Shaykh Nizik B'tashlumin. So I understand that the Nizik is also participating in the payment by only accepting half. And even though Meikar Adin, he should have gotten the whole thing. So it's as if he's paying 50% because the Mazik is only paying 50%. El Manyar Palganiska Knasa, but if you say really the Mazik shouldn't have had to pay anything, Hasu Delabdi Deka Shakil, the Nizik is making a tremendous profit over here. He shouldn't have gotten anything. And he's getting 50%. But Tashlumin Isa, you're going to call that he's being mishtatef in the payment? He's not paying anything. He's getting way more than he deserved. So answer the Gemara, the Mishnah doesn't mean that the Nizik and the Mazik are partners in the payment of the Nezik of the Negicha. When it says, that if the value of the Nevela after it died went down before they had an opportunity to sell it, then the Nizik carries part of that loss as well. And in that way, he's considered a shutaf in the Tashlum HaNezek, because according to the halach is that a shor kills another shor, the Baal Shor HaMazik is not chayev to pay a brand new shor. What you do is the nevela stays by the Bailim, and the Mazik pays the difference between the value of the nevela and the value of the shor that was alive, of that shor while it was alive. So if it was worth $200 while it was alive and now it's worth $50, you only pay $150. Now if it went down in value from the time that it died until the time of the Amad Abedin, the Nizik of the who owns that Nevela loses out. Meaning if now it's only worth $25 at the time that it got killed, it was worth $50 when it was fresh meat, when it was freshly killed. And now it's only $25. Still the guy only has to pay $150. He doesn't have to pay $175. So in that sense, the Nizik bears the burden of the loss as well. So I asked the Gemara, you're going to say that that's what it's coming to be Mechadesh? Our Mishnah is coming to be Mechadesh Pachas Nevela? Pchas Nevela Tanina. We already know the din of it, meaning the Mishnah that says HaNizik VaMazik B'Tashlumin is telling me the din of Pchas Nevela. We already know that from another Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us that Kishizik Chava Mazik L'Shalim Tashlumin Nezik B'Meit Avaretz, and the Bryce says Medayik Tashlumin Nezik. It doesn't say Meshalim Esa Nezik, it says Tashlumin Nezik Melamit Shabaylim Metaplin B'Nevela, and that tells me that the Nevela belongs to the owner of that animal that got killed, and it's his job to sell it as quickly as he can, and the Mazik only has to pay him the difference between the value of it when it died and the value of it right before it died. So says the Gemara, the Tana has to write it twice. The din that the Nizik is tough is the one that deals with the Nevela, because Chad B'Tam, Chad B'Mur, to tell me both in the case of a Shor Tam and a Shor Mur, Utsricha, and I need it to be told twice. Diash Min Tam, if it only would have told me this din, that the Nizik bears the loss, that of the decrease in value after its death by a Shor Tam, Diash Min Tam, I would have made a mistake and said that it's only by a Shor Tam that the Bailim is Metaplim B'Nevela, because the shor is not yet a shor muad, and the Bailim didn't know that they have to guard it so carefully, and the mazik didn't do what is not so much at fault, and therefore the nizik is going to lose the pchas nevela, not the mazik, because the mazik is not so much at fault. But the shor muad, where the owner of the mazik, of the animal that was mazik, should have known that this animal has a history, and he should have been on top of it, and he should have stopped this from happening. So I would think think that the pchas nevela is on the mazik as well. V'yesh min mur, if it only would have told me mur, mishum to come shalem kule, I would say that's because he's paying nezek shalem, so he's paying so much already, so you're going to make him bear the pchas nevela also. Aval tam emelo, but by a tam where he's already getting off with so little, he's only paying chatzi nezek, so I would think that at least he should have to cover the loss of the pchas nevela, that the mazik should have to cover the loss of the pchas nevela, tzricha. That's why I need to be told, both in the context of Shor Tam and in the context of Shor Muad, that it's the Nizik that bears the loss of the Nevela. Raya number two. Tashima, ma bein Tam Lemuad. What's the difference between a Shor Tam and Shor Muad? Shatam Shalim Chatzi Nezek Migufo. A Tam pays Chatzi Nezek only Migufo of the Shor HaMazik, only up until the value of the Shor HaMazik. Umuad Mishalim Nezek Shalim Min Aliyah. But a Shor Muad damages, he has to pay Nezek Shalim regardless of how much the Shor HaMazik is worth. It pays full damages. V'lokatani, why doesn't it say another chilik? If palganiska is knasa, so then the halacha would be that if you're moda, then you'd be potter. So why doesn't it say that as a difference between a tam and a muad? That a muad, if you're moda, you're chayev because it's mamona, and a tam, if you're moda, you're potter because it's knasa. So it says, okay, ton of a shir, that's also a chilik, but it didn't mention every single chilik. Well, my shir, the high shir. We can't just cavalierly say it didn't mention every single chilik. You have to know of another chiluk between Tam and Muad that it didn't mention to then say we weren't trying to give an exhaustive list. So it says Marshir Chatzi Kofer. It did leave out something else. The din of Chatzi Kofer that the short Tam, if his short killed the person, is pata from Chatzi Kofer, whereas a short Muad that kills a person has to pay Kofer Shalem. Meaning you would think that just like when it comes to paying the value of that which it damages, so a Tam just pays half of what a Muad pays, that the same would apply to Kofer. And therefore Kofer, if it was a short Tam, would pay a Chatzi Kofer. And yet there's no din of Chatzi Kofer. So it doesn't mention that that's another difference between Tam and Muad. So it says, Imishum Chatzi Kofer Lav Shiurahi. No, that's not called something that was left off the list, because Hamani Rabbi Yosef Glilihi Damer Tam is Shalim Chatzi Kofer. Because there is a Tana that actually holds that you do pay Chatzi Kofer. So maybe we're assuming, like that Tana, that you taka pay Chatzi Kofer. Okay, so now we move on to Raya number three. Again, all in the sugya of, do we assume Palganiska Mamona, or do we assume Palganiska Kenasa? So here's Raya number three. Tashema, our Mishnah had said, Hamish Shorius Ploni, my ox killed so-and-so, so and therefore I'm chayv to pay the kofar. Oh, Shorush Ploni, or my ox killed so such and such an ox, and therefore I'm chayv to pay the nezek. Hareza Mishalim Alpiatzmo, he has to pay the kofar or the nezek based on his own admission. My love bitam, isn't that talking about a short tam and not only a short muad? So you see that you have to pay a chatzi nezek al piatmo. It's exactly the case of our Mishnah. The guy was moda that is ox gored and he has to pay. So don't you see that it's talking about moda bechatzi bepalganiska, and we're saying that you do have to pay. So you see, it's mamona. So it says lo b'muad. No, it's talking about a muad where it's obvious that it's mamona. But in a chinami, if it were a tam, then you'd be potter. So it says more. Yeah, but if that's the case, avol b'tam mai. So you're telling me that if it were a short tam, then the halacha would be that he would not have to pay the palganiska al piatzmo? Well, then when the Mishnah wanted to come up with a case where he doesn't have to pay, adetani seifa avdol shel ploni and mishalem al piatzmo, instead of the seifa coming up with a brand new case, oh, if my shor killed someone's eved, then I don't have to pay al piatzmo. So niflug v'nissim b'didah. Why don't we keep the case the same? My shor killed someone else's shor. My shor killed another person. And say b'med var mamurim. When does the guy have to pay al piatzmo? That's b'mua. That's if it were a mu'ah. Aval tam ein mishalem al piatzmo. Meaning, if there's a chilik to be made within the case that we're already dealing with, why would there be mercha k'tavi lachma? Why are we going to bring a case that has nothing to, a totally different case in order to illustrate an example where you're going to be putter? If there's an example where you can be putter in the case we're already dealing with. So says Gemara, that's not a case we're already dealing with. Kula b'muad k'mayri. Adrabba, we're trying to keep the Mishnah consistent that the whole Mishnah is talking about a muad. And if that's the case. The case is that it's a shor muad. To distinguish between muad and a tam, that's bringing in a new case. But if it's a shor muad, we want to keep the Mishnah talking about a shor muad. And when are you chayiv if you're moda that your sharmua did something? If it killed another ox, if it killed a person, but if it killed an eved, then you're going to be pater. So it's all talking in one category, one topic. Now the fourth raya, tashma zeklal. The end of our mishnah said that zeklal kol mishalim yeser al mashi hizik. Anytime you're paying more than it than the damage done, like you're paying kefel, ainam shalom apiatzmo, then you're not going to have to pay when you are moda. Hapachos mimashi hizik, but the implication is that if you're paying less than the damage done, like a tam who's only paying chatzi nezek, then mishalim al piatmo, then you would be chayiv to pay from your own admission. So you see the palganiska mamona. So it says lo tema hapachos mashi hizik. No, wrong diuk. The diuk should not be that if you're paying less than you damaged, eleima hakim mashi hizik mishalim al piatmo. That if you're paying precisely the amount that you damaged, then that would be mamona. But if you're paying either more or less than mashi hizik, then it would be considered knasa. Aval pachos mai einu mishalim piatzmo. So you mean to tell me that if you pay less than the amount that you damaged, that's called mamona, and then that's called knasa, and you would not pay al piatzmo? Well, then listen to zaklal. Why doesn't the Mishnah say the klal that in a way that's inclusive of that case as well? Kol she'einu mishalim. It should have said, anytime you're not paying what you damage, then it's called a knas. Why does it only say, anytime you're paying more than you damage is called a knas? No, anytime you're not paying what you damage is called a knas. So tiyufta, so that's a tiyufta, because therefore we see a clear diuk from the Mishnah that if you're paying less than you damage, that's called mamon, palganiska mamona, and not knasa. And therefore, vihilksa palganiska knasa. After we finally bring a right that we have no response to that says palganiska mamona, the Gemara says the halacha is palganiska knasa. So tiyufta vihilchasa. You just said the tiyufta. Now you're saying that the halacha is the other way. Says we're in. Yeah, even though we have difficulty in the Mishnah, because time in my itosav, what was our whole difficulty based on the Mishnah? Mishum delo katani kimashi hizik. It's because the Mishnah didn't say anyone who's not paying kimashi hizik is ainu mishalim al piatzmo, which would have implied that even less than that which you damage is considered a kenas, but we could be miyashiv why it doesn't say that, because lo psikale, it's not so clear la halacha that every time you pay pachas mashi hizik that it's automatically a kenas. Kiven de ika chatzi nezek soros, because there is the halacha of chatzi nezek soros. When your animal is walking and a pebble shoots out as a flying projectile from under its foot and it does damage, it breaks kalim, so dehilchsa gemirila de mamonahu. It's halacha l'moshe misinai that it only pays chatzi nezek. It's a tolda of regel, which is mamon and not knas. Mishum hachi lo katani. That's why our Mishnah couldn't just say anytime you're not paying kimah, it's automatically a knas. Not always. There is the chatzi nezek tzroros, where chatzi nezek tzroros really make radin the bailim should have paid nezek shalim betzroros, because it was the kolchos kigufo, and Allah Moshe Mishinai comes and is megareya and says that you only pay a chatzi nezek. Comes to be mekel that you only pay a chatzi nezek. At least that is a deya, that chatzi nezek tzroros is a din of mamon, and therefore it could not say, our Mishnah could not say in an accurate way that any time you don't pay exactly Masha Hizik, that it's going to be Kenas. Okay, now that we've come to the conclusion that Palganiska is Kenas, if you have a dog that ate sheep, live sheep, or a cat that ate large chickens, which these are unusual things for animals to do, Mishunahu, that is an unusual Hezek, and any time it's an unusual Hezek, that's a tolda of Keren, and you pay Chatzi Nezek unless it was a Mu'ah to do so. So that Chatzi Nezek is a Kenas, like any other chatzi nezek of Keren. We normally think of Keren as goring, but Keren is any time the animal does something really weird and damaging that you never would have thought of it doing, so then it's going to pay chatzi nezek. So lo magvinun bebavel. So if chatzi nezek is only knas, if palganiska is knasa, we should not be allowed to collect that payment in bavel, because we don't have dayana mumchim that have smicha in bavel, and by knas it says asher yashiyun elohim, and Elohim means Dayanim Mumchim. It means you need expert Dayanim that we don't have in Bavel. The Rashba raises the question that even according to the Madyam of the Palganiska Mamona, we shouldn't be able to collect without Dayanim Mumchim, because the Gemara says that by all Dinim Mamnas you need Dayanim Mumchim. It's just that things that are very, very common, like Hoda'os Va'alva'os, everyone becomes the Shluchim of the Beis in Yerushalayim. But it's not so, but that's only by things that are very common, like Hoda'os Va'alva'os. But dogs eating sheep and cats eating the large chickens are not so common. So L'chora, you need Dayanim Mumchim for that as well. So the Ritva said that's common enough, that would also be considered Shluchim. But it's only if it's Knasa that we wouldn't have the ability to be done in Bavel. Aval Zutri, but if the cat ate a small chicken, Orchehu, that's normal Magvina, and therefore you could collect that in Bavel. So nevertheless, even though we're not Gova Chatzi Nezik in Bavel, because it's considered a Knas, the Itafas, if the Nizik grabs from the Mazik, without Rishus from Beis Din, Lo Mafkin Mineh, we're not going to make him give back the money. The Amar Ikfili Zimna L'Eretz Yisrael, and if he does, he's not Tofis, but he says to the Beis Din, I want you to be Kovei Azman, where we're going to go to Eretz Yisrael with the Mazik in order to go to the Beis Din of Smuchim to be done this case. Mekavinan Le, then we're Kovei Azman, where you go. V'lo Azilim, if the Mazik refuses to go to Eretz Yisrael for that, Mishamtinan Le, we put him in a Nidui. Benkach or Benkach, whether if the Mazik wants to go to Eretz Yisrael, whether he doesn't want to go to Eretz Yisrael, Mishamtinan Le, we put the Mazik in some sort of Shamta, some sort of Cherim. Da'amrinan Le, Salek Hazekech, we tell him you have to kill the dog or the cat that did this kind of unusual damage, because it's a mazik. Midrabi Nassan, how do I know that they have to kill that dog or cat that did this kind of damage? From the din of Rabbi Nassan, the time Rabbi Nassan Omer, Minayin Shlo Yigadol Adam Kelev Rabbi Toch Beso, how do I know that you're not allowed to be Megadol a bad dog in your house? V'lo Yamit Sulam Ru'u Abbi Toch Beso, and you can't have a rickety ladder, a faulty staircase in your house. Shenemar, because the Pasuk says, in the Pasuk of Makkah, the first half of the Pasuk of Gemara doesn't go Vasisa Makkah L'Gagecha, but then it concludes, V'lo Samim Damim Beveisecha. So from the fact that it says Beveisecha and not Begagecha, so we darshan that it's not only about the roof, it's about anything that's likely to cause damage. You can't keep around the house, so you can't keep a Kelevra in your house. You can't keep a Sulam Ra'ua B'toch HaBayis. Hadron L'Chel Naros B'Shem. Tomorrow we'll pick up with the beginning of the fourth parak of Maseches Ksuvos.